Hey, verse number 16. James 1, verse 16.
Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with a word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Father, thank you for your word, and teach us, direct us, help us, and guide us. We pray in the precious Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, y'all can be seated. Okay. So the Bible says here in verse 16, do not err, my beloved brethren. Okay? And the word err in the dictionary means to wander from the right way, to commit error. So we get an injunction here telling us to do not err. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Well, where does error come from? As far as believers, where does error come from? Well, one of the places it comes from is not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. Take your Bible, go to Matthew 22. Matthew 22. Matthew 22. Matthew 22 and verse number 29. Jesus answered and said unto them, ye do err, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. Brethren, there's two places where error will come in at. If we don't know the scriptures, we are going to err. That's why you find today so many people that feel that they are authorities on spiritual matters. They feel that they know much about God, but they're not acquainted with the scriptures. And so, brethren, if we're not acquainted with the scriptures, if we don't know the scriptures, we are going to err. And then not knowing the power of God. And brethren, when we do not know or trust what our God and see in His Word what He is capable of, then brethren, that will lead us into error. In those two areas, Jesus said that's where their error came from. Not knowing the scriptures, not the power of God. Well, just real quick, what was their problem? Well, it was the Sadducees. And they did not believe in angels. They did not believe in spirits. They did not believe in resurrection. They didn't believe in those things. All right. And so to them, it's like they were just more of a logical kind of mindset of a thing. They didn't know the power of God. Because they were like, well, look, you know, this man, he had this. There were seven brothers. One of them had a wife. She died. They didn't have any children. Then the next one took her and la, 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 la. So in the resurrection, whose wife is she going to be of them? You know, and Jesus said, you do err, not on the scriptures nor the power of God. And because, see, the problem was they didn't believe in the resurrection. They didn't believe in a new body. They didn't believe in angels. They didn't believe in spirits. They didn't know the power of God and that God is not limited by His creation, brethren. God is not limited by anything that He has created. And God, brethren, God is not bound by the principles and powers as far as the physical universe that He has set up. He's outside of that. Brethren, God is able. See, we know things as what we're familiar with. Sights, sounds, colors, and different things. Brethren, there are creatures in heaven that aren't like anything that's on this earth. And brethren, there are things that God is able to do, brethren, that we can't understand. He inhabits a realm outside of this realm, and we just can't even comprehend. Brethren, Jesus Christ said, He told the Pharisees that if those people had stopped praising Him, the stones would have cried out. You can't figure that out. You can't make sense of that, but it's so. But it's so. And unless you know the power of God and what He's capable of, and that He is not bound by the physical creations that He has established, then you don't get that. All right? But so, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God, where else does error come from? From impatience preceding from lack of faith. Go to James 1, verses 3 through 4. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So, brethren, when we're impatient because of a lack of faith, we will err. We can understand that. How many times have you gotten in a hurry and messed something up? How many times have you gotten in a hurry on a job? How many times on your job, how many times on a task you were doing, you got in a hurry and you blew it? You messed it up. You missed one of the tasks, or you forgot instructions. You forgot a step that you were supposed to do. You got in a hurry, and you get in a hurry, and you're going to err, brethren. When we get impatient because of lack of faith, and we get in, and we're just like, hey, we will err. We will err. So not knowing the scriptures or the power of God, impatience from a lack of faith, not asking for wisdom. James 1 verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given. So we err, brethren, we don't have wisdom because we don't ask for it. Again, lack of faith. Look at verses 6 through 8. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Error also comes from allowing oneself to be drawn away by lusts. Look at verse 14. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. All right? And then finally also, not properly discerning God's character. Look at verse 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. Verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variables, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Brethren, if we don't properly discern God's character and know how he is, then we'll err. All right, so all these different things are things that can lead us to err. And you can sum it up, by just not knowing about God and not knowing his word. Brother, if we don't realize and know that God is unchangeable, he is the same, all right? He is, and understand about his character, we'll make errors in our judgments, in our decisions. I had a lady years ago, she could not get it in her head. She was like, well, I just don't want to bother God with my problems. It's like, ma'am, you're not going to bother God. God wants to take those. Well, I just don't want to bother God. It's like, ma'am, you're not. God wants those things. You can't. He's not like us. You're not going to tax God's strength. You're not going to weaken him. You're not going to. She could. What was her problem? She didn't understand. She had never been taught what God is like. She had never been taught as a little girl what God is like. So she was thinking that God's like others. Like, you know, and he would get. He can't handle it all. And he don't hear all the stuff. She didn't understand about God's character. All right, and so when you do that, you don't understand, you'll err. So then verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. Okay, so how can you tell if something is of and from God? Well, there's one. Because everybody says everything's from God. Everybody says everything's from God. Brethren, everybody says everything is from God and of God, and God did this for me. And sometimes it's right, and sometimes it's wrong. And brethren, even though you and I may have our wonderings and our feelings about it, often there's nothing we can really say. Not unless the thing is blatantly sinful and against the Word of God. Now, if something is blatantly against the Word of God, well, then you could say, brother, that ain't God. The book says that, and that is just sin. That's not of God. But I remember I had a relative of mine one time, and he had a vehicle, right? And he told me, he said, man, that's just God. God just did that. That's God. And in my heart, I was like, well, I hope so. But I got my wonderings. But now listen, I couldn't look at him and say, partner, that God ain't in that thing. I don't know. But I'll tell you what, he did tell me about 6 months later, that thing wasn't a God. He found out that it wasn't the Lord. That was just him. And, you know, and he was just, it wasn't the Lord. All right. And he kind of found out about that thing. And we got to, we learned. We like, but brother, sometimes, you know, everybody, because who wants to say, man, I am out of the will of God here. Brethren, who wants to say, this thing ain't a God? Who wants to take and say, wow, got a new position, got a new job, huh? Yes, sir. Ain't a God for a minute. But who wants to say, yeah, Lord, it had nothing to do with this thing. I just did it. Who wants to say it? Nobody wants to say that. And so, brother, a lot of times, so what we'll do is we can't even convince ourselves. No, we can. We can. We can convince ourselves. And, brother, ultimately, hopefully, we can walk with God, and when God shows us, we'll say, Lord, thank you for your mercy. Help me. Guide me. All right? But how do you tell? How can you tell if something is of and from God? All right, first of all, is it good according to God's standard of good? Is it good according to God's standard of good? Is it helping you draw closer to God and service for Him or farther away? Really? Is it helping you draw closer to God and service for Him or pulling you farther away from Him? Now, that's something to really think about. Brethren, how many times? Now listen. Listen to me. I know people here, there are different things going on and people's different moves and different things taking place and different, so just understand where I'm coming from. Brethren, I've seen one thing that I've noticed through the years. Watch this. Notice when the tribe of Reuben and Gad and the half tribe of Manasseh said, our inheritance has fallen to us right here. And by the way, that wasn't sin. God let them do it. And ultimately, they're going to get that land and more. So it wasn't sin. It's just Moses is like, okay, you guys, now look, you got to go fight. You still got to go fight for everybody. We're fine. Because why did they want to stay further out? They're animals. Now, this blows my mind. Listen, I ain't on to anybody here about any animals or where you, I'm not. But take heed to what I'm trying to say. They's like, we want to be out here because of our animals. No, listen. Ultimately, they ended up apostatizing some of the first ones because they were farther out. Let me tell you something. I've known of churches, right, where people like had a menagerie and farm and moved out, I mean, 45 maybe hour away, okay? And they're like, but man, we're gonna make the effort and we're gonna be there. And I think they probably mean well. But bit by bit, little by little, it becomes, man, brethren, listen, be careful. If God is in it, it's not going to draw you farther away from God. It's going to help get you closer to God. God may allow the thing. It may not be a sinful thing. But if it's really from God, it won't draw you farther away from Him. And again, He may allow it. And I'm not saying, brethren, that you can't make that decision. But let me tell you something. Starting out, it'll be easy because you're motivated. You mean well. You're purposed. Give that thing about a year or two. And that's where the tail's going to come. Will you continue? And you know what? That's where if a person needed to sell what they had to do and get something close, they need to do that. Brother, listen. When a man had a farm and he had them cows, and like the Bible says, when the ox falls in a ditch, all right? Boy, they had things and they had to be milked. They had to be, you know, them cows had to be milked and there's things that had to be. But listen, don't tell you something, brethren. Look here. Be careful that you don't ever let critters keep you away from church. Nobody's livelihood here is going to be, so be careful. I'm just telling you, be careful. I have known of people in churches that because of animals. What did Israel do? This is a place for cattle. We have cattle. We want to stay out here rather than be in. And Moses is like, you're going to cause, no, Moses, we'll do it. We will fight for everybody. We'll go in for, okay, all right. But they also, by being further out, they ended up. And I'm telling you, brother, I've known of families, I've known of situations in churches where they were determined to stay connected, they were determined to stay, and they meant well at first. And I'm not saying that you can't, and I'm not saying that God may not be in it, that's between you and God, but be honest and real, and be careful. Be careful. And I want to tell you something, brother, look here. Listen, just remember this. Brother, I'm just going to shoot straight with you because I love you. A kitty cat sick or having babies is no reason to ever stay home from church. Well, I don't think, I'm not really concerned what you think about. I'm your pastor. I will tell you right now that listen, it's an important thing. It's an important thing that you get around the things of God. Who knows? Listen, I thanks be to the Lord that I was in church when the Lord passed by my way and spoke to my heart. I understand when there are real situations that come up. You understand? There are real situations that come up that are in. But be careful, my brethren. Be careful how you prioritize. Be very careful. Brethren, I'm just going to say this and I'll move on. Be careful that you don't put an inordinate affection or an inordinate attention on animals. And you know what? Most people in here, you got, and listen, none of this stuff, but I like animals, brethren. I do. And I know my reputation. I know the things that, but I really do. I really do. But what I'm saying is, brethren, be careful that there's not an inordinate, because you know what? The things that go on in the world creep in ultimately even in the church. And it's no longer today having pets. It's almost like pets are people. Pets are people. No, they're not. And when kitty or doggy dies, they die. They don't go to heaven. They don't go to hell. They just die. Don't you ever tell your child that little kitty poo is up in heaven. No, he's not. Because Pastor Pooh will tell them he's not. I'm serious. I ain't gonna tell that child. You gonna say, Pastor, is my puppy with Jesus? No, honey, he's not. My puppy's not with Jesus? No, honey, he's not now. Don't worry, I wouldn't be mean. I can say, no, honey. No, because see, they don't have a soul like a person where the Lord's breathed into him the breath of life, and they've got this they just die and they don't go to hell, honey. They're not, but they're just back to, they just die, and that's just it. And I know you miss that puppy. That's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. Man, I cried when that thing died, man. We was done married. That thing, that dog had been around forever. Survived me. That thing was something, right? And I mean, I cried when that thing died. I did. I was grown. I buried it. You remember? Yeah, you can get attached to something. Ain't nothing wrong with that. But don't you go and say, well, is it with Jesus? No, it's not. No, it's not. It's not. It's not. Get a right balance with the thing. And I'm telling you something, brethren. That's got to be for somebody, because that wasn't in what I planned on saying, but I'm putting it out there. And have pets, but have a right balance with things. In fact, you can learn a lot of things from having a pet. You can learn some responsibility. Feed that thing, take care of that thing. If your child wants a pet, you know what you need to tell them? That's your pet. I'll try to help you, but you're going to take care of that thing. And you're going to learn, because you know, I want to, okay, good. But you know what this means? You got to clean up after that thing, and you got to feed that thing. And that's good. That'll teach them some things. That'll teach them things. So there's all kinds of good things that can come from a pet. I'm serious. Don't make more of that pet than what it is. Don't try to make them like a person. And brethren, don't by actions put that pet before God Almighty. And don't convey to your children to where they sense that you will prioritize an animal before you will the things of God. I'm just telling you. Be careful with that. All right. Is it good according to God's standards of good? Is it helping you draw closer to God in service for Him or farther away? Next thing to ask yourself if you want to find out, is it from God? Is it perfect? Perfect? Well, hold on. Let's define perfect in the dictionary. Perfect in the dictionary means finished, complete, not defective. All right? So, look, brethren, if something's from God, then every good gift and every perfect gift. All right? So there'll be a perfection to it, something finished, complete. Listen, it'll be right. Brethren, how many times does somebody think that God is in a relationship, or God is into this, or God is into that, and it's not, and He's not. But they want it to be. They want Him to be. They want Him to be. And because of that, they can get themselves in a fix at times. Well, there's some criteria here. Is it good? Is it perfect? The Bible speaks here of gifts. Well, concerning spiritual gifts, go to 2 Corinthians 12. Because the whole context is gifts. 2 Corinthians 12. Second 2 Corinthians 12, verse 12. Truly, the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience and signs and wonders and mighty deeds. Okay? The signs of an apostle. And I'm talking about gifts. Go to Mark 16. Mark 16. Notice the sign. Notice it said the signs of an apostle. Well, brother also went, well, why did you bring that up? Brethren, have you not run into, and if you haven't, you will, people that tell you they are apostles? You run into people that tell you they are apostles. Okay? Paul said, truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you. Do they have the signs? An apostle had to have the apostolic sign gifts. Because look, They claim to be gifted. They have their apostle. Okay? Well, every good gift and every perfect gift, right? Every perfect gift cometh from above. Perfect gift. What does perfect mean? Finished, complete. Brethren, if they are apostles, then they will have the perfected gifts of an apostle. Not, well, some of them and not other ones. Isn't it interesting that they don't have perfected gifts? What they have is, they'll tell you they have tongues, but they don't have healing. They don't have, and an apostle had the apostolic sign gifts. Perfected. In other words, completed. Finished. They had them all. All right? Go to Mark 16. So it's one of the ways you can know. Mark 16, verse 17. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. But they don't have it. They are not apostles. They do not have the apostolic gifts. Now listen, most of them will tell you they have one of them, which they don't. They'll tell you that they speak with tongues. They don't. But they'll tell you they do. But even if they did, which they don't, they don't have all, it's incomplete. It's not perfect. And every good gift, and we pray, if God really gave you the gift of apostle, you would have all of them. And I'm not talking about picking up snakes or snake candles. I'm talking about, like, but they'd be able to lay hands on the sick and they recover. They'll have it. What's going on? Brethren, in some of the cases, they're shysters. In some of the cases, believe it, they mean well, they're deceived. They mean well. They are brought up in a system and in a church. They want to be right with God. They want to be used of God. They're told that this is the way it is. And so they want to believe that and they want to do that. And they just find themselves in it. They're not malicious. They're not being, they don't need to be dealt with as just some wicked. Now, some are shysters. But not everybody, not a lot that you'll run into. They mean well. Brethren, you are going to run into some, and you fellas know, you do prison work or juvenile, you're going to run into some women that will come and tell you, hi, I'm Apostle so-and-so. And it's just going to grieve your heart to pieces. It's just going to grieve you so bad because you can't, here's this nice smiling lady. She ain't mean, man. She don't know. She's smiling. She just purports to love the Lord. A lot of times loves her King James Bible, man. Only Bible she's got in her arm, buds, King James Bible, right? And yet the system she's in has taught her this, and she means well, and she's sweet as she can be, and she wants to grab your hand and pray with you before you get ready to, and you know what? You just gotta let the Lord guide you at that point. And you can't worry, you know what you'll do? If you're not careful, what'll come to your mind is, ooh, what this certain preacher or this evangelist or somebody may think of me. Don't you worry about that. Amen. Don't you worry about that. You're on spot. You are on spot right now. You're the one that's on scene. All right? You're the one got to deal with this thing right now. And there's other people watching. And there's kids watching. Or people who don't have a clue about nothing. And you can take your great stand so that in your mind, brothers or so-and-so would really thought, boy, what a great defender of the faith you are. And you blew it for the moment. Amen, preacher. There's a way to handle it. Amen. There is a way. And that way may vary from situation to situation. And that's Bible. Because Paul said, Timothy, would you mind being circumcised? No, Paul, for the help of the gospel, let's do it. Titus, we ain't going to circumcise you because right now if we did that, that would be backing up this bad doctrine. Boy, ain't that something? Two totally contrary, but the situation warranted, each one was different. And you take it as it comes up. And a lot of times what you'll do in by handling it right, you will lay the groundwork to help that person. A lot of times if they trust you, but if you blow them out of the water, brethren, who has time in 5 minutes getting ready to go minister somewhere to go over a dissertation about what apostles are? I'm sorry, brethren. That's just, there's just not the time there. You don't have time. They'll just take, you're not going to, but if you'll get their trust by doing right by God. I didn't say going along. If they was to ask you something that you go along with, you say, well, you know, just kind of don't, I see a little different. Maybe we talk about it sometime. There's a way to handle it. But maybe, just maybe what will happen is you can gain their confidence and they'll see what you have and they'll ask you questions. And you can get some truth there to them. I'm just telling you, brethren, that granted, the Bible shows us the error of a lot of these things. But brethren, if we go and just think that everybody pretending they're something they're not is just wicked, ungodly, just trying to take... they're just deceived. And some of them, they believe it because they're taught it. And that's the system they're in. And they need some help. They need some help. And brethren, they think we need help though. You'll find that out a lot of times. A lot of people think you're the one that needs help. All right? And you just got to handle the thing right and let God give you an open door with it. And behave yourself wisely. And just be careful, brethren. Just be careful. A lot of times somebody don't know, brethren. They don't know. The system may have been brought up under. And if you go and handle it wrong, when you could be a help to them, you blow an opportunity. And I'm telling you, a lot of them, brethren, you'll find there'll be ladies sometimes. Only Bible they got in their arms, son's King James. That's, to them, that's all there is. And they're right about that. But you know what? They're out of order. Nobody has taught them how to be and how to do. And they don't know. And come on, if your church, especially if it's a big organization, allows you to do this, encourages you in this, and your husband lets you do this, well, man, what are you going to do? You're going to think you're fine. All right? And so it just takes wisdom with it. All right. But I'm telling you, I'm showing you these things so that these are principles that if you get a chance, you can instruct and show. You know, but the Bible's not saying that. The Bible says if you really were this, you would have this and this. And I know you wish you maybe were this and you think maybe you're this, but what does the Bible say? You help somebody. All right, look here. Concerning gifts to edify the body of Christ, go to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Brethren, when God gifts, it is scriptural and it is sufficient. When God gifts, it is scriptural and it is sufficient. Every good gift, every perfect gift cometh down from above, cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. All right, so one of the ways we know that the things of God, it'll be scriptural. It'll help bring you closer. If it's a spiritual gift, it'll be complete. It'll be perfect. It won't be lacking in some area. And it'll take... it'll be according to Scripture. And again, I can't emphasize enough the fact it will be perfect. Every good gift, every perfect gift. And when the light of spiritual gifts, think of that. Is it perfect? Is it complete? In other words, if I say I'm this, do I have all I'm supposed to have? And the signs of an apostle were right. So if this person doesn't have all the signs of an apostle, then they don't. They're not an apostle. And they've been led. In fact, lo and behold, what did the verse in front of this say in verse 16? Do not what? Err. My who? Beloved brethren. Some of them are saved, brethren. They're saved. They just don't know. They don't know. They've had nobody to teach them. They've been taught this is a way. And brethren, without teaching and guidance from God on us, we would be... we fall into error, God. But I don't know about you, but I constantly ask the Lord, deliver me from error. God, deliver me from error. I got up this morning. I got and prayed for service today. And I said, Father, please correct me from anything I will bring forth to these people that's wrong. Please, Lord, help me. I don't want to tell. So sometimes those kind of things happen. Sometimes people are lost, but not every time. Every time, look at the context. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift, every perfect gift, if it's perfect, they'll have a whole shebang, everything. And it applies also to things, to different situations. It should meet the criteria of Scripture. Notice, it says every good gift, every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from who? The Father of lights. The Father of lights. Now that's interesting. God is called the Father of lights. Go to Genesis 1. Genesis 1. He is the Father of heavenly lights. Genesis 1. You know, I told y'all a couple of weeks ago that, you know, that deal about, well, the Lord's coming back in September, you know, and this kind of stuff and like that. Well, there's a new one coming down the pipeline. The latest thing now is that for 15 days in November, the sun is going to, there will be no light on the earth for 15 days in November. Seriously. And brethren, it's sad, brethren. It's sad, the stuff that comes down the pipeline. And what's sad is when believers will take and go, yeah, but I saw this on this site. You do best to chuck your sites and stick with your Bible. And I'll say this, and stick with what God set up to learn the Bible by your local church.
Right.
See, here's the problem. Most of your studies online are not going to hit you about your sin where you're at. You understand? Most of your studies online, they're going to be to where it's not going to be offensive. It's not going to hit you where you're at. It's going to be sensationalistic stuff. Ooh, wow, ah, wow stuff. It's going to be that. And it's not going to be God working through the local church, pastor and teacher through that, for God to bring out what we need in our life. Now, folks, that's just the way it is. Brethren, your local church, and I'm just telling you, brethren, the way this thing works blows my mind. If you'd have told me years ago that going verse by verse, book by book, chapter by chapter, that God would bring out and deal with issues that I'm not even aware of, it would have blown. I was like, how can that be? And it can't be outside of God. And you know what God will do? God will take and tailor that thing. Brother, come on. Brother, you know there's sometimes it's like, oh, Lord. Oh, and what you want to do at first, because brethren, before I'm preaching to you, God's getting on me about it back there, I'm on my own self. But you know it. You know what you want to do. Well, you know your first reaction. Somebody's talking to the preacher. How many times you got to say anything? You ain't got to say anything. How many times have some of you sitting in here and you wanted to crawl down because you're like, oh no. That brother or that sister talked to me about this, and he is saying almost verbatim what they talked to me about, and they are going to be convinced. They're going to say, I know you told the pastor. And yet you're like, and I didn't. And you want to go grab the person after church and say, I'm telling you, I didn't say a thing. I'm serious. But that happens. That stuff happens. Anybody, somebody had to tell you. No, sir. Brethren, God's able to bring out things so detailed that it'll shock the daylights out of you. He's just the Lord. But you know what? You know what? I've just seen it happen too many times. People come and get testimony about it. But you know what? But you know the question to ask yourself at that moment is not somebody tell him something. No, is it true? That's the bottom line. That's the bottom line. Whether it was the Holy Ghost telling me or somebody telling, the bottom line is it true and is it right and is God ringing your bell about it? That's the bottom line. But you know what? What's going to happen to you first is you will get mad and you will try to slough it off on somebody else. And say, Pastor's just picking at me. He just got out from me. He just can't let this thing go. Brethren, if you'll let this principle help you, it'll help you in church through the years. But brother, sometimes God loves you so much, He will ride you on a thing, and you better be, listen, if you ain't got it right, you better get scared when He does let it go. If God's riding you on something, and you won't get it right, and then all of a sudden he just let things move along. You better get worried. Phil, huh? You know what I'm going to say. Man, I'll be the Lord rode your daddy.
Yes, sir.
He did.
Yes, sir.
Brethren, I mean God rode Phil's dad. And I mean just God was trying to get that man's attention. And you know what? There came a time, and you could just about sense it. I'm serious. I believe with all my heart. And Phil, you said, I believe Stanley knew.
Yes, sir.
And he refused. And you know what? God just moved that thing on. God just moved that thing on. Just moved it on. That was it. And you know what? Stanley was as confused as could be as far as what I'm saying is about salvation. I say confused. He knew. There came a point he knew. But you know, twice in Stanley's life since I knew him, churches went and pronounced him saved. I tell you what, it burns me up. It burns me up. It happened to Stanley before he come down here. It happened to Stanley when he was in a, where was that, Phil? In the, yeah. Come in there in the nursing home. Pronounced Stanley saved. Man alive, brethren. God was trying to get a hold of Stanley and knew where Stanley was at, knew the thing that was in the way, and God wrote. Let me tell you something. Stanley Renenko, God bless God. Stanley will not stand before God one day and say, you didn't reach out to me. Lord tried. And it wasn't me, brethren. I remember, it's like I would stand back and go like, Lord, Lord. I mean, I know this has got to be eating Stanley's lunch, and it was. I'm like, but Lord, you just keep directing the kind of things, and it's like, but then he just moves on. And that's a scary thing when that happens. Listen, if the Lord seems, oh Lord, God ain't getting on my trail, it's you. Is it right? Is it right, Lord bearing witness to it? If you don't get the thing right and you know the thing ain't right, you better be careful then when God moves on. When God just sees fit to just to move on with it and not. Brother, you know something? I remember the first service Abby came. She came with her friend Megan, right? And brethren, I was preaching. And I got on that just that thing about my grandma when she had had, you know, my mama and didn't abort her. And brethren, I remember I was thinking, Lord, I got to get back. I got to get back to the main. And I couldn't. Brethren, it's amazing what can go on in your mind in milliseconds of time. You know what I'm saying? And so I'm sitting there going, I got to get back. I got to get back. And the Lord would not let me. Sarah told me after the service, Ellie told me after the service that they were sitting there going, Daddy, why are you staying on this? Why are you staying on this? I was wondering. I looked at Abby and I thought, that girl wants to claw my eyes out. Because Abby had a letter. She didn't. She didn't, but she, I found out later. But she had a look on her like. And I thought, she is as mad as a wet hen. That girl is mad. Right? But you know what? I couldn't let it go. I could not let it go. And I wrote it. And I mean, I was hitting it hard about abortion. And I was hitting it hard. And I was hitting, and I couldn't. Brethren, I wanted to get back. And I could not. And then her friend's crying. I'm like, great. I've made this little girl cry, and Abby comes to church, and she's ready to claw my eyes out. And I was just rather frustrated, but I was like, Lord, I don't understand, but I know, God, I don't think, I know I'm not missing you. Lord, I could stand before the Lord going, God, you just wouldn't let me get. After the service, I find out her friend is pregnant, and all her friends have been telling her, abort, abort, abort. And lo and behold, I knew none of that. I knew none of that. That's about the first or second. I think the first service Abby had ever come. And Abby wasn't mad at me. She was mad at all these girls' friends who were trying to get her to abort that baby. And it was all coming out right there. I didn't know any of that, but God did. Brethren, listen. Understand that I think you all know this. I think you all know this, but I want to give you a clue you in here a minute too. You know, brethren, there's sometimes, you've seen it happen here, the Lord will just tell me, shut her down, that's it, boom, stop it. But have you ever noticed in the service, it seemed like the high point has been hit, but yet we go on. Surely you may have felt at times, man, Pastor, why you didn't maybe stop it right there? I understand exactly what you're talking about. And brethren, there are times I felt like that was probably the high point of the thing. But yet I feel like God says, go on. Because brethren, look, there's another reason that God's trying to do with it. Because there's sometimes, brethren, I can't. I know God says, shut her down. It's an individual thing. You got to say, and brethren, that's why I need your prayers to hit that thing the right way. And we've got to trust that what God, but what God may be doing may not something for you, or for, but for somebody else. We've got to trust in that kind of thing. All right? So listen, brethren. I'm saying he's the Father of lights. I just got on this thing a minute to tell you. Be careful, brethren. Be careful. Man, we go through Psalms last couple of weeks. What are you going to do, man? Man, there's principles in Psalms I will not sit with the wicked. Man, there's some principles there. There's some things that just been, sometimes, brethren, there'll be a theme. It's not my theme to pick out, because I don't pick it out. Brethren, we just take the verses we're up to and we go. But God will get on that thing. Instead of getting upset, instead of trying to weather it out till it passes, do you understand what that might mean? If you weather it till it passes, that might mean that exact thing. It passes. God was reaching out to you. You wouldn't hear. And so he's just moving on. That's a scary thing. Look here. He's the Father of lights. Genesis 1 verse 14. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. And let them be for signs, for seasons, for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night, made the stars also. He's the Father of lights. He's also the Father of spiritual lights. Go to Philippians 2. Philippians 2. And look here at verse 14. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. He's the Father of lights. That's physical lights, sun, moon, stars, all those heavenly bodies. Spiritual lights. He's our Father if we're saved, and we're to be the lights in this dark world. He's the Father of lights, for he himself is light. What does the Bible say? God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Now notice what it says in the book of James. The Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. You know what the word variableness means? It means susceptibility of change, inconstancy, fickleness. A shadow is defined as a slight or faint appearance. Did you know that there are stars that are called variable stars? And if you find out which ones they are, and you can, you'll find that certain times of the month they glow bright and then they go dim. Bright and dim. They're called variable stars. I think of the constellation Perseus, Al Ghul. Ain't that a wild name? Al Ghul, like a ghoul, a god. Al Ghul, which means its name is the demon star, interesting enough, is a variable star. It varies, all right? Well, the Lord's the Father of lights, with whom is no variables, neither shadow of turning. You see, brethren, the sun, the moon, and the stars, they vary in their intensity at times. Sometimes the sun is brighter than other times. Sometimes the moon. You've seen the moon last couple of nights. Go away. Day, man. You got outside there, man, eat a meal and read fine print by that thing, man. It has been bright. Huh? But not always like that. Not every full moon's the same. But you know, and sometimes the sun's shadow turns and moves in position. But it's not so with the Lord. He's fixed. He's constant. He's consistent. He is not changeable. He is not fickle. He is not indecisive. Brethren, he's the Father of lights. But all those lights are variable. And with him, there's no shadow of turning. Brethren, look at the sun. Its shadow changes. Its shadow turns and changes. The lights vary. All right? Not God. He is constant, steady, not fickle, not changeable, and not indecisive. The same. Go to Malachi 3. Malachi 3. Malachi 3 verse 6. Malachi 3 verse 6. For I am the Lord. I change not. Therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. He didn't change, brother. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. May we be as fixed and constant as he is. You know one of the things that your children need? constancy, consistency, and fixedness. Because if we're variable, brethren, that'll mess them up. They look to you to be a guide, a constant, something that's the same, something that's fixed. That's one of the things that means so much to us about the Lord. And so we need to be fixed. We don't need to be changeable. We don't need to be up and down and so moody. I mean, we got to struggle with those things. But brethren, I'm saying strive to be fixed and constant and consistent and the same. Because you know what they're going to do? They're going to use you to guide them. They're going to use you to guide them. You need to be constant. The Lord is. And with His help, we need to be the same way. Finally, verse 18. James 1, verse 18. Of His own will begat He us. You see, brethren, He chose to redeem, save, and begat us by His own will. Not because we desired it, but because He initiated it. This is not Calvinism. What it's saying is, not Calvinism at all, what it's saying is that, look, the reason there is a plan of salvation, the reason there is a way to be saved, is not because we desired it. It's because God initiated it and set it up Himself. Nobody forced His hand. Nobody influenced Him. He did it. Brethren, He knew what would happen. He knew what man would do. He knew how we would go our own way. Even before He made man, He set this thing up to take place. Nobody forced His hand. Nobody begged Him. Nobody pleaded with Him. It came over His own initiative, from His own volition. This is not Calvinism saying God chooses. No, this is saying the whole plan of salvation, the whole plan of salvation for every person proceeded forth and came from God first. Brethren, He was thinking of us before we ever thought of Him. And He worked in our lives to bring us to Himself before we ever had thought of coming to Him. All right? Of His own will. How did He do it, though? Of His own will begat He us. How? With the word of truth. With the word of truth. Go to 1 Corinthians 4 real quick. 1 Corinthians 4. Verse 15. With the word of truth. For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you, how? Through the gospel. Through the gospel. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and He was buried, and He rose again the third day according to the scriptures. The gospel. Go to 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter 1. Verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Amen. He begets us by the word of truth, by the gospel, by His word, and the Holy Spirit bearing witness thereto. You know something, brethren? Never discount the power of the word of God. But a lot of times when you deal with someone, the enemy's going to try to sell your thoughts and tell you in your mind, they're not going to believe that. You got to come up with some way to make it more palatable to where they'll receive what you're saying. You know what you need to trust and know? Inside every man is an understanding of the truth. You understand me? Listen, the Bible says that they were without excuse. The invisible things Him could have seen, so they're without excuse. Had a man come, he just stopped by the booth yesterday. He's come up and he goes, I want to ask you a question. I said, yes, sir, you go right ahead. He said, Christianity says that if a person's not a child of God, see, I think I got this right now. He goes, if a person's not a child of God, they can't get to heaven. Am I correct? He goes, you're exactly right. I said, you're exactly right. He goes, I don't believe that. I said, well, sir, you're wrong. You're wrong. I said, the Bible says it. He says, well, them folks in Africa, you know, over there, I said, sir, nuh-uh. I said, no, sir, we ain't going there. I said, let me tell you something, sir. I said, and I did, this is how I said, if they want truth, there's a God in heaven who will get that truth to them. And the Bible shows it. I said, sir, listen, when the Bible says the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things made, even eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. I said, sir, and when they see, and instead of realizing, man, there had to be a God that made this, they say, oh, sun, oh, moon. I said, they fix themselves. If they want truth, God will get it to them, and there is no excuse. And he ducked his head down a little seriously. And he goes, well, I just don't. I said, sir, It don't matter what you think. And it doesn't matter what I think. I said, you need to read that Bible and you need to find out. Let me tell you something. He did not get mad. His whole tenor changed. Because you know what God was reminding me the whole time? Brethren, it's like in my mind, part of those thoughts so going, you got to somehow just get him to... The Lord said, no, he knows. It ain't a matter of not being able to grasp these things. He wants to do what he wants to do. And brethren, glory be to God, he left, not exactly rejoiced and happy, but he left with a changed attitude a little bit. And I said, sir, please look and see what the Bible said. And he took a copy of the Gospel of Romans with him, thank the Lord. Brethren, what I'm telling you is this. You have on your behalf the Word of God and the witness of the Holy Ghost. And the enemy will try to tell you, they're not going to believe this. They're not going to receive this. They're not going to think this. They're not going to think that. Brethren, they have within them, inherently in them, the knowledge that they need to be able to receive what you're giving them. It's a matter of if they want it. Brethren, and it gets down to a fact of something they don't want to face. Their sin. You know, I told him, you know what really got him? I told him the same thing I have said here. I said, sir, because he looked like he was older than me. I said, let me tell you something. We got things in our lives nobody knows about. But I said, you got things in your life don't nobody know about but you and God, and you don't like it when you're alone. And he didn't deny it, and he just tucked that head. Because you know what we dealt with just then? The real issue. The real issue. Why does somebody worry about somebody in Africa? Time out. Do you think they care? That guy in Africa that they always like, y'all want to find this person. I just want to find this mysterious person in Africa, man, who's never, you know what I'm saying, that they always talk about. Everybody talks about. Why can't it be somebody in Stockholm, Sweden? I mean, it's always this, you know, or Brussels, Belgium. It's always somebody in Africa, right? You know why that mysterious guy in Africa is always so accessible? And why always, you know what? Because that's their excuse. That mystery man in Africa keeps them from looking and dealing with their self. And that's the truth. And brother, I'm going to tell you something. If the Holy Ghost guides you, you're not wrong. You won't be wrong for you to tell somebody that. Sir, in love, may I say to you, that mystery man in Africa that you don't even know, I don't think you're concerned about, he's your excuse right now from facing yourself. And you know what you've got backing you up? The Holy Ghost zeroing in. But it's a real battle deal, y'all. It's a real battle. And let me tell you something. Guess what? You can hit it right and have God backing you up. Still don't mean you're going to get saved. God can be all over the thing. And that still doesn't mean they're going to get saved. They got to choose. But what I, brethren, you know what our main concern is? Our main concern is, have we operated in such a manner that, boy, we didn't give them any way out. The truth zeroed in. That's all. It's up to them. It's up to them. All right, going to wind it up here. Verse 18, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a what? A kind of first fruits of his creatures. You know, Christ himself is called first fruits. And then the Bible speaks here of us as a kind of first fruits. And the Bible speaks of us having the first fruits of the Spirit. Brethren, if we are a kind of first fruits, as the Bible says here, then we need to ask ourselves, where is our fruit? And of what kind is it? If we're saved, we are supposed to be a kind of first fruits, having first fruits of the Spirit. All right? Well, then we need to ask ourselves, if that be so, where is our fruit? And of what kind is it? And the Bible speaks of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, patience, you know, those kind of things. We need to make sure there's evidence of it. Are we doing all we can to make sure there's more of it? And because if that's what we're, that's what Christ was, that's what we're supposed to be, and that's what the world needs to see. Because brethren, look here. Inside of a fruit is a seed. Inside of a fruit is a seed. And brethren, if people are to receive the seed of the Word of God, if they're to become, they need to be attracted to the fruit that's there. I mean, I'll say this in closing up to you. If I was selling seeds to you, I could have some seeds and I could say, boy, here's some seeds. They make this, the seeds make this, the seeds make this. But if I could take and show you and say, look, Brother Chris was talking to me earlier about the Macintosh apples. That's good apples, right? Don't have them so much down here, but they have them up in colder regions up north. Well, if I could pull that thing out and say, this seed makes that. Are you serious? Yes, sir, bud. This seed makes that. Man, I want some of that. I want some of that. I like that. And take them seeds. You see the kind of fruit it produces. Brother, if we want folks to receive the seed of the Word of God and to be born again, we've got to show them the fruit the seed produces. That's what will draw. Not any kind of anything else. One of the things that gets their attention is to see that we have something they don't have. You know what it'll cause people to do? It'll cause people to depend on you and come to you where normally they wouldn't. They see you have something they don't have. They see that there's a little more to it than what a piece of paper or what this. They see there's more to it. And when you have what only the creator of the universe can give you, they'll see that and they'll desire that or desire to know more about it. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, that you are consistent. You are the same. There's no variables, neither shadow of turning with thee. Oh, Father, help us to have that kind of consistency in our life. And Father, thank you, dear Lord, that we can be a kind of a first fruits unto thee, as Christ is a first fruits. But Lord, help our fruit to be as it ought. Lord, so folks can see what your seed produces. Lord, I pray you'll dismiss us with your blessings, helping us in the upcoming week. We ask this in Lord Jesus' name. Amen.